Bernie?
Yes, Bernie Green, Massachusetts Association. As you know, we've dealt with LNG terminals and wind farms that are in the process of being permitted at this point. And we've done a little bit of research, and just for general knowledge, there's a website, cowrie.com, which is in Great Britain, who have done studies on vibration and noise and its effect on marine mammals, as well as fish and some offshore studies. And you may be amazed. Up to 100 kilometers, they claim that there are some effects on these species. That being said, again, the electromagnetic field, which is the big thing. We have one wind farm proposal down off Boston off Nantasket Beach, and they're talking on the beach, literally, and this is an area that we don't fish heavily for 2 or 3 months, and that's the energy that these people use to say, well, there's not a lot of activity there. Well, there's not a lot of activity there because it's primarily an air area. That's all you'll catch. It's females, all that come. And we stay away from it for 3 or 4 months of the year. But these are areas they pick because it shows low fishing activity, and it looks like an ideal place, but there's low activity because of very special reasons for us in the fishery. And we're just very, very concerned about this lake. Electromagnetic field. Are we going to be inventing invisible fences, if you will, like we do for dogs and animals, etc., underwater to stop a migratory pattern that may not just affect that one area? It may affect an enormous area, and that whole herd of lobsters just not return. You heard Bill mention that there is in one of the fjords, and I don't remember whether it's in Denmark or Norway, that they had a wind farm of 26. Windmills, and over a period of 2 to 3 years, the salmon fishery damn near went away. They shut the wind farm down, and within a couple of years, they noticed the migratory pattern was starting to come back. It's a great concern. I love windmills. I think it's the best thing we can do, but at what cost?
Yeah.
And that's where we need to be going, where we need to be looking.
And that's the reason for testing. Issues come up, and some of them, you know, the electromagnetic field issue is a real one, and the vibration issue is one that needs to come up. Like with any issue, people get concerned, and then and they overhype it as well. There was an article in my a letter in my local paper that was talking about the impacts of windmills and the vibration on people nearby. And this one particular person said the reason Don Quixote went crazy was the windmills, you know, back in Spain in the 1500s or whenever it was. And so, yeah, our job is to get all those kind of issues and tease them apart and figure out which ones have real weight and what the trade-offs are. Vicki.
George, we know that when we went through this process with the large whale take direction regulations, that those sightings there are pretty opportunistic, especially in Maine waters. It's not a lot of survey effort. So I'm wondering whether the task force is going to recommend to do some pretty intensive surveys of Maine waters before you start to sight, so you can address some of the data gaps that we know exist in this data. And the second thing is that the testing, while it might be just one or two or three facilities, the operational stage is going to be an array of these. And so how do you model and extract what you learn from one or two windmills in the water to a 10 or 100 by 100 grid? And how do species like whales or fish navigate through the magnetic and acoustic field of those generators?
The question of, I don't know, my sense is, well, I haven't heard people talking about, a big survey effort as part of this. And when we go from testing to applications for commercial sites, say a 10 by 10 grid, those are questions that the applicants will have to answer, some of them. You know, we'll never have all the information, but so that we can make informed decisions. The question of cumulative impact has come up in our task or subgroup, as well as I suspect others. And that is, if you add one 10 by 10 grid, what are the impacts going to be on the environment? Well, what if you put six of them together, you know, through time? Because, again, if you look at the long-term potential, we aren't talking about one or two sites, we're talking about many, if we want to change our energy future. And so that's a very valid question, and we have it's been brought up, but we haven't addressed it yet.
As far as the fishing goes, I used to ship the Gulf, and that's what the tank is. I did a lot of runs in the Gulf of Mexico, and the majority of the activity involves shrimp boats and all the fishing boats that are all in through the rigs. And we go from mile to mile across the Gulf in open waters, never see any fishing boats. But they were concentrated in fishing into the rigs, and marine activity on the lakes, and all the infrastructure, all of it, is where you've had, growth. Stuff in the marine field. So, that's where the fishing are. I don't personally see where the negative for any income flows or the possible gain, then I'm sure that the shield is capable as far as the electronic field that they're talking about. A little bit of that has to be worked out, but I don't think there's a big fear of the fishing community. You're going to lose a few spots that you actually could fish. But the overall increase in marine activity will way offset what will you lose in that area. And, I think it's a big game. I've got a wind turbine myself, by the way, guys. If I was worried about the vibration and the electron field, that happened within 50 feet of my kitchen, it ain't as much as what I think a lot of people just don't want to see it or don't want to deal with it. But I think the average.
There's certainly an element to that. One of the other things that, and Bernie mentioned it, we can gain a lot of information by folks who have gone before us. If you go to Europe, Denmark generates 10% of its energy, 7% of its energy from wind now. A lot of it's on land, and a lot of it's in the water. And so one of the things the task group is doing and others are doing is trying to gather that information as well, because a lot of the questions have been asked before.
This is a more general question to the task force as a whole. Is there anything being looked at for generating oil biofuels from algae in the Gulf? That's an area with considerable potential as well. I just didn't hear it mentioned at any point.
There's not. We were in charge of looking. The question was, is this Ocean Energy Task Force looking at the whole question of algae as a source of biofuel? And the answer is we're not looking at that. It's not a question we're charged with. It's an interesting question. There's interesting work going on down in the Southwest, research in this area, but we weren't charged with that.
Mark?
Yeah, George, I brought the issue up of the need for more survey effort with respect to right whales at the task force and on several of the subcommittees. They've never even gotten into the minutes of those meetings. So the concern is, I really think, and I've said this again before, we need a minimum of 2 years of serious survey effort in areas to close the gaps of where we know and don't know the rails are now, and that has to be done. And we are right now rushing to judgment, picking sites without adequate information. Just want that to be on the record.
Yeah. And I will say in response, one of the concerns is, I don't know exactly what kind of studies will come out in the end, but there's certainly an element of and I said this jokingly to Jeff Taylor, of people want us to spend $500 million in half a century to find out half as much, again, information as we have. So we're going to have to balance the need for more survey information on whales and other species and balance the need for more research with moving ahead. And that's what the value of the test sites is to get some of that information.
Just this week, the New Jersey Ocean Wind Power Ecological Baseline Study, an 18 month study was just completed. They did it the right way. They started 2 years ago. They've done a baseline study. It's just come out. We've got to take a look at that. It's the kind of thing we should have done. Since we didn't do it, we should start doing it now. Rather than rushing to get test sites in the water so that we're not left behind in the game.
Do you want to answer?
Yeah, I would just say that there are a host of incredibly complicated questions here. Living resources, human impacts, the grid issues on land, etc. And I would just assure you that all these issues are being talked about heavily. New Jersey has been working on this stuff for 2 or 3 years, and they just got around to the point of doing that study. This effort has been underway for 3 months. We've had serious discussions about funding strategy for doing different kinds of studies, et cetera. So the fact is this, the issues, you know, once you get involved with this, they're actually pretty obvious. And it's really clear that we're going to have to grapple with those issues in a pragmatic way. You know, nobody's going to get away with putting a windmill farm in the middle of right whale habitat. Ain't going to happen. You know, everybody involved in this is pretty pragmatic. And I would just tell you, having you know seen the information traffic, the debate about this as co-chair of this effort, everybody's looking at this open. You know, we all understand that if you don't deal with the real issues, they bite you in the end. I would just say it's encouraging. There's a very diverse group of people involved with this, and the issues are getting raised.
The other thing worth mentioning about the test sites is they're temporary. The discussion right now is that those would, I think, be in 2 years in duration, 2 or 3, and there would be an adaptive management process in there, so if something went awry on it, you could pull the plug. Other questions or comments?
On the underwater cables, would they be any different than what we have to our island communities right now?
What do you mean by that?
Would they do any more electromagnetic fields than what we already have within our island communities? Are they any different?
I don't know the answer to that. There is a whole subcommittee of the task force who know all the... Who know the grid and who know those kind of questions? I don't know the answer, but many people do. John, do you want to answer?
Well, I think one simple answer is the amount of energy carried across a transmission line serving an industrial scale wind farm would be larger than what's serving an island. So the capacity will be larger. The flip side is that the technology, the materials technology, that's being developed for transmission is developed. It's that technology is evolving very rapidly right now, and so the net effect is not something we have a good handle on yet.
Thank you.